Well, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 18 this morning as we continue on in our series, Changed and Changing. Last week was rather convicting. Today, maybe more so in our lives. In his book, Leave the Last Years, Charles Flood talks about a story that happened after the war. Robert E. Lee was visiting friends in Kentucky, and when he got to the house, the woman brought him out to the front yard to show him this grand old tree that was devastated by the artillery of the North. And she was just heartbroken over it. And I think she was looking to Robert E. Lee to at least have sympathy or maybe condemn the North because of the injustice done to this grand old tree. He paused for a moment and said this to her, "Cut it down and forget it. It is better to forgive the injustices of the past than to allow them to remain and let bitterness take root and poison the rest of your life. In every relationship that you have, you will be constantly called on to forgive and to ask for forgiveness." You know, forgiveness is costly. It's not easy to ask for forgiveness, and it certainly isn't easy to extend forgiveness to those who've wronged you. Proverbs 18, verse 19 says, "An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the bared gates of a citadel." Forgiveness is the virtue we most enjoy, but least employ. And there are two main reasons, I think, why we struggle with forgiveness in our relationships. One, it's not natural. And it makes it hard when we do something that's unnatural. And forgiveness isn't fair. Our sense of justice wants to be vindicated when we've been wronged. Nevertheless, God commands his people to forgive one another. In all of the Bible, Peter stands out as the most precise of all the disciples. He was a stickler for details. He was always trying to pin down the exact meaning when Jesus was teaching. Do you remember that time when Jesus engineered that miracle of the catch of the fish? It was Peter who sat down and counted every single one of those squirming fish to come up with a count of 153. And being a numbers guy, Peter came up to Jesus one time in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, and he said this, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" I find this question a little amusing. Here's Peter, who, according to the Bible, needed personal forgiveness on at least seven different occasions himself. And here he is being concerned with how many times he should forgive someone else. He was asking Jesus to give him a precise formula for grace. And when you think about it, we all have some barriers that keep us from giving the gift of forgiveness to other people. We all have a threshold that we don't want to cross, a limit that we don't want to go beyond, that we say we can't go beyond. I can think of at least three barriers of unforgiving heart. Revenge. Revenge says, "I'm going to get even." Resentment says, "I'm going to stay angry. I have the right." And remembering, "I'll never, ever, ever forget. Ever." You know, we've all asked this question at one time or another. How many times do I have to forgive this guy? I'm getting tired of it. Particularly when it's an offense over and over again, the same offense over and over. How many times, God, do I have to forgive this guy? See, Peter wanted Jesus to set some forgiveness limits. Peter wanted to know from Jesus, when is it okay to say, that's it? You've messed up too many times. I don't have to forgive you. But before Jesus could answer Peter's question, Peter kind of responded to his own question by suggesting that seven times would be a good limit. But you know what? That's not a bad answer at all. Because the rabbis in that time taught that if you forgave someone three times, then you were free the fourth time to not forgive them. In fact, the rabbis taught that that's what Jesus did, that Jesus would only forgive three times. So think of it in that terms. Peter doubled it and added one for good measure. I really believe that Peter thought that his answer would impress Jesus. And to be honest, forgiving someone seven times is commendable. Most of us get a rash when we have to forgive somebody twice. Peter wanted a number. He wanted a limit. He wanted a place where he could finally say, that's it. You're not getting away with it any longer. Our friendship is over and done. You've pushed me too far. Well, as Jesus often does, his answer to Peter was unexpected and disarming. Take a look at verse 22. Jesus said, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Oh, Peter couldn't believe his ears. 70 times seven, quickly in his head, he's going, wait a minute, that's 490 times. Now, Jesus wasn't suggesting that we count the number of times that we forgive somebody. He wasn't saying, okay, let's see, that's 298, 299, 300, only 190 to go. Better be careful. 70 times 7 means that there's no limit to the number of times that we are to forgive someone. Actually, if you were to count that by the time you reached 490 times of forgiving someone, you would be in the habit of continual and unlimited forgiveness. And that's exactly the point that Jesus is making. You don't keep score when it comes to forgiveness. Like grace, forgiveness has this maddening quality about it because it's undeserved, it's unmerited, and it's unfair. Well, since the truth of forgiveness without limits is hard for us to grasp, Jesus told a story that helped to illustrate what he meant. And in the first half of the story, Jesus deals with those who need forgiveness. And in this first part of the story, he gives to us some practical help for those times when we've been wronged and we're wrong and we stand in need of forgiveness. And in the second half of the story, which we're going to look at, he targets those who need to forgive others. And we'll find some practical help there for us as well. When someone has wronged us, when they're in need of our forgiveness. Well, let's start in verses 23 and 24. There the word of the Lord says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Okay, so here's the picture. the king of the land decided to call in all the debts. And he sent out his collection agents, and they came back with a man who owed the king a considerable chunk of change. His CPA figured that he owed the equivalent of, in today's standard, $25 million. That was like the entire yearly income of the kingdom itself. And Jesus doesn't tell us how he ran up this debt, but it's clear that there was no way he could ever repay the king the debt that he owed him. And since he couldn't repay this debt, it says in verse 25, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The king knew at this point that he could never recoup his losses. He just wanted to get back whatever he could. Now, at this point in the story, the servant does what anyone would do. He fell on his knees and said this, "Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything." Even though he knew he could never pay it back, he's desperate. And he can't stand the thought, which one of us could, of his family being sold because of the debt that he ran up. And the king was moved by this. The Bible says that he was filled with compassion. And he does something that the man doesn't even ask for. The king not only releases him, but he also forgives the debt. And this is at great personal cost to the king. By assuming the debt, he allowed it to go unpaid, and the treasury was impoverished because of it. He wipes the slate clean. He erases the books. He cancels the debt. Now the man owes him nothing. Nothing. And that is forgiveness in a nutshell. To forgive is to cancel the debt. When we've wronged someone and they choose to forgive us, they are in essence saying to us, "I cancel your debt. The slate has been wiped clean. You don't owe me anything. I release you from ever having to pay me back." Now notice that he didn't deserve this forgiveness. It was purely an act of grace and mercy on the part of the king. Well, this morning, if you find yourself in need of forgiveness, let me give you three action steps you need to take. The first step is you need to take, if you are guilty, is to meet your friend or foe face to face. Matthew 5, verse 24 puts it this way. If your brother has something against you, go and be reconciled to your brother. So the question you need to ask yourself is, there's someone you need to go to this week? Anyone that you need to call? A name probably popped into your head. That's a good clue. Number two. After you've faced your friend, you need to own the wrong that you have done. In front of them, point to yourself and say, "My bad, I messed up." It's not enough to acknowledge a mistake. We need to own it. Step number three, ask for release. I suggest that you actually say the words, "Please forgive me." If your friend happens or foe happens to say something like, "It's no big deal, don't worry about it," this is what I'd suggest. "I appreciate that." Say to them, "I appreciate that, but I need your forgiveness. Do you forgive me?" It's really important for each of us to be released from the debt that we owe to that person that we have offended. So who do you need to face this week? What wrong do you need to own? Do you have the courage to ask to be released from that debt that you owe? Well, now let's move to something that we think might be a little bit easier, but I am not sure it is. Let's talk about those times that we need to forgive others. Let's go back to the story. As this humbled man walked away with this gift of forgiveness that he could not have imagined would take place, he was walking away and he ran into a friend who owed him some money. Now, it wasn't a lot of money. In comparison to the 25 million that he owed the king, it was about 10 bucks. Give you perspective. I don't know, maybe this friend had borrowed some money to take his family out to McDonald's for lunch and he hadn't paid him back yet. We don't know. But instead of canceling this friend's debt, verse 28 tells us that he grabbed him and he began choking him and he said, "Pay back what you owe me." I think we're a lot like that. When someone has done something wrong to us, we want to see them punished. We want them to pay for the damage that they've done to us. And Jesus continues by telling us that the forgiven man's friend fell to his knees and he asked him for some time. Just give me a little time. I'll pay you back. In fact, his plea was almost identical to the other man's plea before the king. He said, "Be patient with me. I will pay you back." This is where the difference comes. Instead of forgiving the wrong out of gratitude for the forgiveness that he was given, verse 30 says, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. So let me pause in the story for just a minute to make an application. We're an awful lot like this man when we don't forgive others. We kind of do enjoy putting people in prison if they've wronged us. We want them to suffer. We want them to hurt as badly as they have hurt us, or worse. And we put people in prison in a variety of ways. We might use the silent treatment. Or we may simply avoid them. Oh, you know, as they come by, you turn your back on them. Or you're a little bit more outgoing and a little bit more ticked. Launch verbal assaults against them, both to their face and particularly behind their back, because that's a lot of fun. So my question to you is, who are you holding hostage right now? Who are you trying to make feel miserable? Who are you determined to punish for something that he or she said to you or did to you? Who is it? Let's turn back to the story. This man who had been forgiven much by the king made a critical mistake. He threw his friend in prison in broad daylight. And someone saw it happen and reported it to the king. And word soon got around the kingdom and everybody was talking about it. It wasn't the fact that the man would not forgive his friend that shocked them. What shocked them was that he was so unforgiving after having such a profound grace and mercy given to him by the king. And the king, when he hears about it, he's really ticked off. He sends his soldiers to bring the man before him. Look in verses 32, 33, and 34. The king says to him, "You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the torturers until he paid back all he owed. This guy had a $25 million debt forgiven. Shouldn't he have shown the same mercy and grace to a person who owed him 10 lousy bucks? Let me say this definitely. What happened to that man will happen to each one of us unless we learn to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. The torturers will come and they will take us away if we don't extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. You say, well, Pastor, who are the torturers? How about the hidden torture of anger and bitterness that eats away at your insides? How about the tortures of frustration and malice that gives you ulcers, high blood pressure, migraine headaches, lower back pain? The hidden tortures that make you lie awake at night, stewing over the wrong that was committed against you. How about the torture of an unforgiving heart that stalks you day in and day out, that never leaves your side, that sucks every bit of joy out of your life, all because you refuse to forgive from your heart? And here's the irony of the whole thing. While we often try to punish and imprison those who hurt us, the reverse actually happens. When we don't forgive, we end up being tortured. We end up being tortured. You know, the worst prison in the world is in our own unforgiving heart. Many of us lock ourselves into solitary confinement where we are tortured constantly. And we are walled in by bitterness and our own unwillingness to forgive others. When we choose to not forgive, we are imprisoned in the past and locked out for all potential to change in the days ahead. You know, I think the most miserable people in the world are the people who are unwilling to forgive others when they have been wronged. So, Jesus' point, one of his points, is don't put off forgiveness. Don't allow the root of bitterness to grow into a tree of hatred and resentment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." You see, if we don't forgive, we remain bound to the people that we won't forgive. We are held in their vice grip. And yet many of us persist in demanding that others act the way that we ourselves can never, ever achieve. Lewis Smedes has said, "When I genuinely forgive, I set a prisoner free and then discover that the prisoner I set free was me." It was me. The Bible tells us that when we wrong someone, we are to go and to meet them face to face. Not surprisingly, the Bible is also clear on what we are to do when someone has wronged us. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus said in verse 15, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over." If someone has wronged you, You have the responsibility to go to him and her or and work it out. So you need to forgive. You need to meet face to face. You need to point out the wrong that was committed against you. And when asked, release them from the sin debt to you. See, you're kind of covered either way. If you've messed up and you have hurt someone, Jesus says, go. Face your friend. Own the thing and ask for release. If someone has wronged you, instead of making him or her pay for it or throwing them in prison, Jesus says, go, face your friend, point out the wrong, and release him or her from it. To forgive is a process of giving up. And that's exactly what the word forgiveness means. It means to give. It means to release, to free. Release someone from a debt. It's like saying to them, listen, you did something that really hurt me. But I care about you. And I want to meet you face to face. And when you do that, you say to them, I release you from the obligation of ever having to pay that debt back to me. I forgive you completely. I cancel that debt. And when we do that, we give up our demands for perfect behavior. We give up our demands for perfect justice. We even give up our demand for perfect retribution. When we extend forgiveness, we begin to experience the truth that all human beings are fallible and in need of forgiveness, that we are all in desperate need of grace. To forgive means giving people a fresh start. To forgive is to give grace to one another and freedom to ourselves. You see, friends, I think we're a lot like the unforgiving man in the story. Because we stand before a holy God with our sins piled higher than Mount Everest. Our sins are like a $25 million debt that we could never repay. And yet, out of compassion for our moral predicament and motivated by the grace of God, Jesus came and paid off our spiritual debt. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Here it is. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, we can tolerate those who irritate us and forgive our friends and family members when they wrong us precisely because that's what Jesus has done for us. Since those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior have been forgiven much, then out of gratitude, we should practice unlimited forgiveness in all of our relationships. So, where are you today? Do you need to ask someone for forgiveness? Have you wronged a friend or a family member? If so, decide to face your friend, own the wrong, and ask for release. Do you need to extend the gift of forgiveness to someone? Are you tired of living with the venom of an unforgiving spirit in your life? Are your grudges infecting your total outlook on life? If you're brave, ask someone close to you whether that's true. We rarely see it in ourselves. If so, cancel the debt today. Restore that relationship by being a grace giver. Do you need divine forgiveness this morning? Have you ever come face to face with God, owned your sin, and asked him for release? You need to do that if you haven't done so already. Forgiveness is our deepest need and God's greatest achievement. And once you experience the forgiveness of God, you'll be in a better position. You'll be better equipped to forgive others in your life. C.S. Lewis said this: to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. So I invite you to bow your heads as we close this morning. And I'm going to ask you to take a forgiveness inventory this morning in your life. Do you need to ask forgiveness from someone? Can you think of someone right now? Is there someone you've wronged and you haven't owned up to it? And this morning, are you ready to make a decision to go to that person and make things right? If you are, would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you. Second thing, do you need to extend forgiveness to someone? Have you been nursing a grudge in your life? Are you giving someone the silent treatment? Are you ready to forgive that debt? If you are, would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you. Last thing we're going to ask you. Do you need to admit your sins to a holy God and receive his forgiveness? Do you need to place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your eternal life, for the forgiveness of your sins? The cost of our sins is more than what we can pay. And the gift of God is more than we can ever imagine. If you're ready to receive this gift of divine forgiveness this morning, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we can't put into words how much we appreciate your forgiveness in our lives. There is no good reason for you to send your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt, and that you did so willingly. And Jesus Christ, you went willingly to the cross. You didn't go reluctantly. You went on our behalf to pay our sin debt, that we might have an eternal restored relationship with Almighty God. We thank you, Father, for the forgiveness that is so freely given to us. And we thank you, Father, that as human beings and as we still continue to sin, when we repent of our sin and turn back to you, your word declares to us, you are faithful and just, and you forgive us of our sins, and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we thank you, Father, for your unlimited forgiveness in our lives. I pray, Father, that would motivate us this day in our lives and in all of our relationships, that we will practice unlimited forgiveness because you first showed unlimited forgiveness to us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.